This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
He ought to know.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. The state of the economy. That's the topic Federal Reserve Chair Ben Bernanke will take on this morning when he heads to Capitol Hill. Reporter Tamara Keith joins us from Washington. Tamara, what are we going to hear today about our little recession?
Well, he's probably going to say that there are signs of life in the economy. Stocks have been gaining, consumer confidence improved a little, and economic indicators are still bad. But hey, they're coming in better than expected.
Right.
But he's also likely to warn that it could be a really long time before the economy returns to normal.
Now, these bank stress tests are not even public yet, but that has not stopped the buzz about them. What's the latest?
Well, the Fed is actually scheduled to release the results on Thursday. But you're right, the buzz has been going crazy. There have been a lot of leaks and unconfirmed reports. The latest this morning is that 10 of the 19 banks put to the test will be told that they have to raise additional funds. And the idea of these stress tests is to ensure that banks have enough capital to keep lending, even if the economy continues to tank.
There's been such choppy buzz about these things. You know, they're not tough enough, and maybe the banks have to raise money, but maybe not that much more money. And now I've heard some people are saying, you know what, these shouldn't even be public.
Well, you'll notice that the results are being released after the close of markets on Thursday, and that's probably not an accident. But, you know, it seems like some investors at least aren't as stressed about the stress tests as expected. Yesterday, stocks in Citibank, Wells Fargo, and Bank of America all rose pretty dramatically. And these are the banks that have been widely rumored to be on the list of institutions that will need to raise more capital. So who knows?
We'll be watching today. Tamara, thank you.
Thank you.
It was not just bank stocks yesterday. Housing stocks, too, led the way on Wall Street. The Dow soared 214 points to 8,426. The Dow is still down 4% for the year, but the S&P 500 is up for 2009. It gained more than 3% yesterday. The Nasdaq added 2.5%. European markets are mostly positive, especially London's FTSE, up almost 3%. Asian markets were generally higher today. Is the mafia going green? Prosecutors in Sicily are investigating a possible link between wind power and the mob. From the European desk in London, Stephen Beard reports.
Sicilian magistrates have launched a new investigation into organized crime. It's called Operation Wind. They suspect that local mafiosi have been building wind farms. Concern about climate change is unlikely to be the gangsters' main motivation. The EU offers generous grants for clean energy projects, and Italy has the highest guaranteed prices for green electricity. Mark Nichols of Environment Finance magazine.
You can see how it might be attractive for the mafia. Putting up wind farms depends on getting a nod from the local officials, who obviously can be influenced, bribed, or blackmailed.
The mob's apparent interest in wind power has not brought much environmental benefit. Several of the suspect wind farms are standing idle due to poor construction. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Monsanto, committed to sustainable agriculture, creating hybrid and biotech seeds designed to increase crop yields and conserve natural resources. Produce more, conservemore.com. And by Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build stronger customer relationships through email marketing. ConstantContact.com. American Public Media presents documentary reporting on the economic crisis, supported by the University of Virginia's Batten Institute. More at AmericanRadioWorks.org.
The best-selling consumer smartphone in America no longer belongs to Apple. Last quarter, the iPhone was outsold by the BlackBerry Curve. And that might not last either. Palm soon will come out with its much-awaited phone. If all these cell phone choices make you feel overwhelmed, this next story might have you grateful again. Reporter Ben Gilbert takes us now to Beirut, where cell phone innovation is coming very slowly.
Lebanon's two cell phone companies are owned by the state. They're the second biggest moneymakers for the government, bringing in $1 billion a year. But it comes at a cost to everyday Lebanese, who pay an average 40 cents a minute, and that's just for local calls. Not surprisingly, only 30% of people here own a line, a very low number in the phone-crazy Middle East. Kamal Shahadi is in charge of regulating Lebanon's cell phone industry. He says it's a backwards system, one used by only three other countries in the world.
North Korea, Libya, and Cuba are hardly models of good telecommunications.
To push Lebanon's cell phone system into the 21st century, Shahadi's agency has lobbied to get the government to auction the networks to a private company. But that's been put on hold because of the financial crisis. So the agency has organized much smaller auctions online and at a posh hotel in Beirut for premier cell phone numbers. The Lebanese national anthem signaled the start of bidding. On the block were 33 unique cell phone numbers, like 7070-7070.
Last call at $450,000. Once, twice, last call, sold.
Yes, you heard correctly. That's $450,000 for a phone number. The auction attracted deep-pocketed bidders from Lebanon and the oil-rich Arabian Gulf countries, all of whom were highly aware that social status here is reflected in your clothes, car, and cell phone number. But the auction did raise $2.5 million to improve Lebanon's mobile network. Ministry of Telecommunications official Gilbert Najjar says it's for a good cause.
If you're willing to put money into it, we're willing to have the whole community share in your vanity.
Najjar hopes this auction is just a prelude to a later auction which will privatize the networks. He says privatizing the companies will provide better reception, expand services, and lower prices for Lebanon's hard-hit consumers. In Beirut, I'm Ben Gilbert for Marketplace.
Finally, John Lennon said his band was more popular than Jesus. Yesterday, the Hollywood Wax Museum tested that claim in a public auction. Wax figures of the Beatles in Sgt. Pepper costumes sold for nearly $13,000. Not bad. But a wax representation of the Last Supper commanded more than $15,000. And that's with Peter singing out of tune. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. Thanks for tuning in, and have a great Tuesday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.